So we've been talking a lot about the way of seduction right now, and we've given examples of man in a bar talking to women and pirouetting around defenses or going through walls or a way of being that means that she doesn't have any walls. But I imagine that this is not just about a guy who wants to go out and meet a girl one night. This is also deep into dating, deep into relationships, that this way of talking to women, this way of seeing women, this way of seduction is still completely relevant.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably pretty evident that this is not touching on something as surface as just meeting a girl or picking up a girl. This kind of feeling, this kind of the concept of seduction should permeate all our relationships. And I wrote in the book that, you know, we don't seduce our wives anymore. We don't seduce our women. They don't feel seduced. They don't feel noticed. They don't feel desired. And, you know, we get a relationship and we say, ah, it's good enough. We watch TV, we go to our jobs. So seduction is what we're all starving for, I think. That concept of it, the beauty of seduction, to be caught up in something. This is really what it is. So yeah, it transcends just the concept of meeting a girl and getting her into bed, for instance. That's such a limiting way of looking at it. Mm. It's like, what is seduction of ourselves, of our own soul, you know?
So in this chapter, you're talking a lot about words, like that you've refined your way of speaking, your way of phrasing, your authenticity, even the cadence and the tone and the way that you'll speak into a woman's neck when you're seducing. Does that mean that a man necessarily, to have this, to be this great lover of women that you talk about in the book, does a man have to be great with words? Or is there any other type of seducer, romantic, that you've met throughout the years who's great with women even though it's not so great with language?
Absolutely. That's this guy's journey. His journey was into how can I construct a certain way of saying things and a certain way of being that is intoxicating to women. That's what his journey is. But as he continued this journey, as I said before, he's like, is any of that necessary? And maybe it's not. Wait a minute. Comes through the other side of that, punches through the other side, and say, wait a minute. It's much more simple than we think. So yeah, you don't need to go through all the years of constructive learning and destructive learning that this guy did. You don't need that. You can short circuit it by realizing that there's a plainness, a plain speaking way of that is far more seductive than trying to be seductive, I guess you could say.
Plain, but still with tact.
Plain, but still with tact and social graces and respect for, you know, cultures, all these kinds of things, right?
It seems like you're saying that words are just like the tip of the iceberg. And what's the most fundamental is your spirit, your energy, your respect, your love for women, your masculine edge, these things. And if that foundation is there, then the words will just kind of take care of himself.
Yeah. Exactly. Because it's like what you discover after all these times of trying to memorize things to say, for instance, is it does not matter. And that's a cliche. You hear that, you see that written in books or magazines or whatever. It doesn't matter what you say. You say hello. But that doesn't work for guys. But it does if you have this spirit of looking for beauty and giving invitations, not trying to pull girls and not trying to gain a result.
Yeah.
Your result is your words are out there. That's a great result. Your desire is out there. That's a great result. Hey, that's a great result. So it doesn't matter. There's times I'll meet a girl and I don't say a word. And it doesn't mean I'm like, hey, baby, in my eyes. No, it's just I can be beside her like this and I can just like look at her and she looks. And that's a communication happening then. You know? So it really is. This is exactly what it is. You can invent all the great storytelling, go to improv and learn how to tell jokes, be a funny guy at the party. You can do all these things, which makes you interesting, more interesting, but it's not necessary. None of that's necessary.
Yeah. I've done it. I'm sure other guys have done it as well. You've had, maybe you said something in the moment where it's very authentic and natural. You said it, going, wow, it's a great thing to say. And you've taken that in another moment because you think it was the words that made that so empowering.
I'm going to remember that.
What? Well, that's completely out of, completely out of the occasion. Oh, that didn't feel right. Because that's what's important is the spirit, the flow, the attunement. It's the words flow out of that.
Exactly. And the whole point is that you're, I'm saying it strong. I'll say it again. You are putting something in that direction and leaving it there.
Mm.
People always said, okay, you know, what's the Zen? And, you know, in my dating coaching days, what is the Zen method? And I don't have a method, except that if I were to say there was any kind of a method, I would say this. I put invitations into the world and I leave them out there. That's it. Mm. Simple invitations. I don't, there's no attempt to do anything. Just, hey, there's an invitation. And who's ready to accept, you know? Mm. Because it doesn't matter her response. No, I shouldn't say it that way. Because it does matter. I like the girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want this girl, or I have great desire for this girl. I want to know this girl. Mm. But what I mean by that is her not wanting to accept invitation doesn't affect at all here and doesn't reflect on the fact that I didn't do something enough. I wasn't funny enough. I wasn't engaging enough. I didn't engage her on an emotional level enough.
Yeah.
It's none of that. It's I put myself out there in the strength and vulnerability of who I am without apology. And if she doesn't want to accept the invitation, it's not my girl.
Mm. No.
That's a great validation. That's kind of a cool thing. That's all right.
Mm.
And I would say this, and I think I said it here, there's nothing now, but back in, like I said before, words would hurt me and girls would, I would feel rejected and I feel like, I wasn't cool enough. And I was, why did I say that stupid thing? What an idiot I am.
Right? Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah. Yeah.
But there's not a thing that a woman can say to me today that can affect me in any way.
Yeah. Mm.
She can say anything she wants to me. She can tell me I'm, you know, call me a name, she can do whatever. It doesn't affect the fact that I'm authentic here.
Mm.
There's nothing a woman in a bar, for instance, or a club or anywhere can say. She can try and be, you know, bitchy or try and, you know, flip me off her shoulder or we're talking here. None of that affects me.
Mm.
Because I'm showing up.
Yeah.
And there's a quietness in that. That's good. That's my job. I'm doing my job.
I really like this. And this is a big shift for me because I think most men come from the angle of, I want a result. I want an outcome. Whether that's sexually, they want a relationship, whatever, with someone. And because they're coming from this angle of forcing something.
Yeah.
One, it's really unnatural, it's kind of forced, and they put so much pressure on themselves, it doesn't work out. Like, oh, I said this wrong. Whereas you look at it from a different way, your job is to show up and present yourself, be authentic, be vulnerable, be true, show your love for women. And if that doesn't happen, you did your job.
Yeah.
And there's no kind of attachment, there's no guilt or kind of beating yourself up or upset about it. It's a free-flowing energy, which is great.
And it's easy for somebody to say, hey, be unattached to the outcome.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh. That's a
meaningless phrase. That's our conversation last night.
Yeah.
But that's a meaningless phrase, like, just be yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, keep to a budget. Everybody kind of get what it means. We don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
So this concept of being unattached to the outcome is, how do you be unattached to the outcome when you haven't had a girlfriend? And you're a horny young guy.
Mm.
And you would like to have a girl that can share experience with. How can you be unattached to an outcome? You see?
Mm.
But the difference is this. There's a great difference between great, strong, expressed desire and neediness.
Yes.
Huge difference. You see?
Mm.
And everyone can feel the difference of that. Mm. So you can say something to a woman. You can say, you know what? You can say a high compliment to a woman, for instance. And if it comes from the place that I'm putting something out there and I'm leaving it there, and asking for nothing in return, except I have every great desire for something in return. I would like you in my life.
Mm.
That's all I know. You see? But it, there's still no neediness in that, and it's hard to describe the difference. You get a sense of what I'm saying about that?
Right, right. So,
yeah,
you're expressing your desire.
Without apology.
And without asking for anything. It's just, this is what I would like.
That's why I always say to guys, instead of saying questions to a girl you just met, say statements. So instead of saying, hey, it was nice talking to you. Would you like to go for coffee sometime? Instead of saying that, you change it to, it was nice talking to you. I would like to go for coffee with you. Boom. Everything lands. Everything lands. Boom, boom, boom. Are you busy on Thursday night? We should do something on Thursday night. You're saying the same thing. It sounds the same. And everybody says, well, what's the difference? Are you busy Thursday night? Or we should do something Thursday night. Or, you know, would you like to get together sometime? You and I should get together. That would be, in my world, that would be a great thing to happen. That's what you're saying is, that makes sense to me. You and I should get together. I'm just what? Expressing truth.
Yeah.
My personal truth. I'm not asking for anything. I can't get rejected because I didn't ask for anything. I'm just saying, this is what I would like. In my perfect worldview, you and I would be having coffee.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I tell you, just changing that, that concept of a man changing these little simple questions into the little simple statements that have a period on the end. If a guy just did that, and I thought about this recently, but I'm convinced it's true, you'll never be in the friend zone. Because that little shift in what she hears is not a, will you like me question? Will you like me? Will you have coffee?
Yeah.
It's, I would like this. I would like to present my truth to you, and you have every way to roll out of it. And it's the difference between her sensing there's a leader just showed up here and a guy who's going to follow me around.
And is it for you exactly the same principle when you're meeting a woman or you're inviting a woman on a date to how you express yourself when it comes to going to the bedroom?
Absolutely.
I'd love for you to come home with me right now.
Of course. If that's true for me, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Notice I'm not saying, hey, I'm going to do this to you tonight. That's presumptuous, right?
Yeah.
Remember that? But this is what I would love. You could want something else. And I respect that. I understand that. I would love you to come home with me.
And neither of you sat there on the date, speaking your truth, speaking your truth, speaking your truth. And as soon as it comes to that moment of going into the bedroom, get all nervous and actually, oh, would you like to? I'd really like that. It's like that changes.
That's transcended already.
Yeah.
Because of the way that I'm showing up, speaking my desire in a respectful way, don't forget, in a way full of empathy and respect. But it's also got mischief and yes, my desire is, and I'm not saying it, but you know.
Yeah.
I'm inviting you to come to my house to watch a movie. No, I'm inviting you to come stay with me for the next 3 days. I don't live here in Bucharest, but you know, you should be my lover for 3 days. I would like that.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, I know, but I'm saying it. I'm owning it. Yeah. You see? Women respect that. Women respect that. I can't tell you how many women say, wow, that's refreshing to hear. I can't. I have a boyfriend. I didn't know that. Speaking my truth, right? I have full respect for that. I can't be your lover for 3 days because I have a boyfriend. But thank you for making me feel desired. For not having this hidden agenda. An agenda is not bad. A hidden agenda is bad. When you're trying to fake, trying to be aloof and like, I don't need this girl. And you're trying to wheel in there somehow, you know? It's the hidden agenda. So a great lover of women, a man who has women who love him, has no hidden agenda. His agenda is there for everyone to see.
Yeah.
He's dirty. That's who he is. Yeah. He's like, hello, and you would be a great lover for me. Is in his words, his eyes, and everything. So what you said, Jordan, that whole stages and last minute resistance doesn't exist because it's transcended in the first 30 seconds. She's a willing participant in her seduction from that point on. There's nothing to convince. A man like this, there's no convincing in his world. He doesn't ever want to convince a girl, that he's a good guy, that he's trustworthy, that, there's no convincing. It's basically a statements of truth, which are true. And when you say them with that kind of authority, she feels it is true instantly. She might not even know your name yet. But she gets it. Yeah, this guy is aligned with, calibrated with what he just said.
Picked up on that word authority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not authority over her or the situation, but you're speaking with authority with yourself.
Over yourself. Yes.
You're calibrated with your own desires and your own truth.
Perfect way of saying it, yeah.
And
powerful stuff, guys. This is the real thing. You know, there's a lot of instruction out there and a lot of guys trying to figure out how to pick up chicks. this is the real, to me, this is like the real, this is the Holy Grail, to become, to try and understand that the presence and the spirit of this guy who's sharing himself to the world, and women in return share with him. And there's no, there's no walls, there's no back and forth, there's no suspicion, there's no, it's wide open. You see?
Yeah.
And you know, like, and as we go through this book, and we've already seen it, there's seeming contradictions.
Mm.
There's strong things this way, and then it's, wait a minute. And then 6 pages later, there's this.
Mm.
But I'll say this, there's not, and I said it to you guys earlier, there's not one word in this, even though it sounds like ambiguous perhaps, or you know, the opposites maybe, there's not a word of this that rings true with my experience. Or
you want to rephrase that one?
There's not a word of this that doesn't ring true. That I put in this book and thought, it's, and I may learn something new tomorrow. In my next 50 years, I might write another book. This is, wait a minute. But what I've discovered and what I've learned from women is fundamentally, there's nothing in here that, even though the seeming contradictions and the paradoxes we said earlier, the paradox is part of the magic. You know? But this rings true from what I've experienced and what I've observed and what women have taught me about the heart of men who are true lovers of women, that women take care of and adore till the day they die.
This, when I'm doing coaching nowadays, for me, the most important thing, because the whole idea is to have authority of our own experience and speak our truth in a way that actually feels true and coherent to the woman that we're speaking it to. So coaching no longer becomes about how do you say the right things, right, or know what the strategy or the tactics are to have an outcome in a certain way. Coaching for me now much more becomes a way of helping a man to know his truth so deeply so that when he speaks, he's speaking in alignment with his truth, but speaking in alignment with his emotions and his beauty moment to moment.
That's the place to go. That's where the real journey of men needs to be. And I think most men want that, but they don't understand that they want that. They think they want to pick up a girl or, right?
So a man might look at, you know, page 53 or whatever, and then use the treasure hunter line out in a club because he saw Zan do it in his book.
Yeah.
But actually it's an inward journey to find that stuff.
Yeah.
Love to hear a bit about your story with finding your truth. Because in my experience, it's always been a thing that wobbles. Sometimes I can say something to a woman and it's dead on, and I was younger and way less experienced.
Yeah.
And then afterwards I can say things to women that's like, I just caught myself talking shit. How is that possible?
Yeah, but you know, here's the thing. You can forgive yourself everything if you are standing on whatever your truth is in this moment. And you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because we are learning and we're giving new light. We're given new light as we progress in our lives. And something that we thought was valid and proper, you know, 2 years ago, you might think, wow, you know, that I wish I wasn't that way in those days. But you shouldn't have that feeling. You should feel like this is, if you're a seeker and you want to, and you're a student of life, which we certainly all are, then you can forgive yourself everything because you are looking for more excellence, right?
Yep.
So it's like we say, well, I made all these mistakes. No, you didn't. You got to this point here where you're having these other thoughts here. And I wrote in the book, you know, like, because is to don't be afraid to take a stand today and change your mind tomorrow. That's a powerful, powerful thing. You know, I wrote it in there. It's like, speak your truth today and take a stand today. Put your stake in the ground today. Oh, and then change your mind tomorrow because you've got new light.
Yeah.
That's some leadership to do.
Yeah.
This nothing wrong with that.
This is, I'm sure, one of the most frustrating things for a lot of men and women as well, because I think with the default mindset that a lot of people have, we think, okay, so we're talking about the paradox, the Madonna or the whore. Who do I present myself as? Which side of the paradox must I go to and forever go to? Or I fix for myself an identity. I am this kind of man. I'm looking for a girlfriend and I'm looking for this, and then exclude every other option from my plate. It's like people, it can be common to try and fix ourselves in a moment of time with one particular worldview, and then struggle, like, what, why is life not more fun? Because we don't allow ourselves that flexibility to change all
the time. And we're not embracing everything. All the highs and lows of our personality. Mm. All the light and all the darkness of our personality. We're not embracing it all. But it is who we are. In fact, you know, like we say, show up and speak your truth. And the guy said, well, I don't know what my truth is. I want to get laid. That's my truth. It might be as far as you can see, right?
Yeah.
Or my truth is I'm really nervous. If I go talk to this girl and my hands are sweaty, there's your truth.
Yeah.
Then you express that. And I'm here anyway. My hands are sweaty because you're such a beautiful girl to me. And here I am anyway. I'm doing something.
Mm.
I'm doing my job as a man. You know? So your truth is, the great thing about it is, none of us are these upright, perfect, altruistic citizens of the world. We're complex, broken, scratching our head, scratching our ass guys, trying to figure it out. At the same time, you've got some great things, but you've also got some contradictions in you.
Mm.
And to embrace it all, that's a seductive guy. To embrace it all and say, I'm learning and I'm devoted to my learning.
Yeah.
And I'm not stuck in my ways. This is the way it is. I made a decision I'll never change. And people can pick up on that and say, okay. Because we're all broken.
I'm reminded of music again, like to have a good...
I like this.
Yeah, I'm suddenly the musician now. I'm terrible. You've heard me at karaoke. Like, this guy's talking about music.
you're the business and the science guy.
Now I'm the musician guy. When I sing, I was singing Frank Sinatra, so it's always like on one level. But my next point is, it's not about that. For a good song, you need the light and the shade. Or the song's just one note. That can be a really good note, but it doesn't make a song. And you're saying you need that light and shade, you need the dark energy and the beautiful energy to have everything. That's what makes a song. If you're just too much of one thing.
I'd like to keep hammering that because that's why the book has the shape it has. Mm. I could have written this out in like 200 pages, half the size, that is just stating all these things.
Should have called it a song.
But it wouldn't have the doubt in it, the surety in it, the rhythm, the flow, the musicality that you keep talking about. Because as you said, and as it says in here, it's the spaces between the notes that really make, and that hesitation, and that just behind the beat drummer, just behind the beat that gives it, it's that you feel it here. There's something in the life of the syncopation, the rhythm of it. And it's the same thing with your interaction with women, same thing with your interactions and how you are in life. I like that you keep going back there because that's the whole point of this crazy flowing thing.
I want to go back there again because when you say the spaces between the notes, I'm reminded of when you invite and you give space. Again, you can have the best song in the world, but if you go no space between music, it would sound horrible, like a song on fast forward.
Yeah.
What makes a song beautiful is you give her space to reply.
Yeah.
And that's what creates the good music.
That's what Chopin, the great composer, that's what he was fighting for all those years. He said, I'm trying to find the perfect spaces.
Mm.
That's what makes the music.
Another quote, this is a comedic quote. Two famous English comedians, what are they called? You know when I say it. It's a famous, and there are many. He said, it had a famous piano player, and he tried to play the song. The famous guy said, what are you doing?
Dudley Moore.
No. So what are you doing? He's like, that's not the song. He goes, oh, I played all the right notes, just not in the right order. But it's like that as well. You can do all the things, but if you don't do it in the right flow or of how it's supposed to be, that's wrong as well. It's not just having the right repertoire of notes. It's the spaces and the order that make it together.
Keith Richards said that too in his autobiography. It's a great phrase, and I wish I had remembered it right now, but I remember thinking that's exactly it.
Mm.
And the way he was making music, he said it was the silences between that it's like really makes the music.
Yeah.
It's not just playing the chord all the time.
Mm.
It's the anticipation of waiting for the resolution of the chord. To hit the fifth and this kind of stuff. That's fantastic.
You know, the sense that I get with this bit of the conversation now, we're talking about the light and the dark, I know myself, I'm broken, the shadow, the complexity of it all, the ups and downs, the surety, the doubt. It's just like, I feel that trying to figure this stuff out and actually getting it it's just like an impossible task. Like, women and life, yeah, it's this enormous thing.
The more, the more you explore, the more it goes
and smaller as the minutes go by.
Yeah. But it is the essence of seduction, which is, if you, you know, wrap it all up, that's your authenticity. All the paradox, all the complexities. But forgiving yourself and saying, hey, that's seductive. That's a very seductive thing. You, nobody's 100% confident. Nobody's got it figured out. Nobody's absolute, and, you know?
Mm.
I want to go back to a concept we started a little yesterday, just thinking about the enormity of women in life and the complexity of us. You got a phrase here saying, it's a willingness to allow myself to be thoroughly seduced by women and a willingness to dash myself upon the rocks of the sirens with unalloyed ease and delight. And it touches into the, I don't conquer, I submit. Yeah. I don't seduce, I surrender.
Yeah.
And I want to know more about what that's like in your experience.
Well, like Casanova and Albert Camus said those last two phrases, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know how to say it better than that. Like, I quoted them in the book because that's what it is. And they felt it all their lives. It's like people call me a seducer, but what am I supposed to do? I'm the one being seduced.
Mm.
I'm caught up in it. I'm like, this is... Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay.